Now listen to me, skirta. That's the Greek. It doesn't mean wiggle. It means leap. It's a violent joy. Recognition before thinking, before theology. The body knows Messiah's in the room. That's Bible.
Hey, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminarian. It is the third week of Advent. The room's a little warmer now. Two candles already burning, hope and peace. And today, we strike the match for joy. Not the loud kind, not the kind that gets sold in a commercial or slapped onto a mug. This is the kind of joy. Shows up early, unannounced, messes with the furniture. Kind that doesn't wait for everything to make sense. In Luke's story, joy enters a room before anyone explains it. Before sermons, before systems, before certainty. Two women, one house, and something holy start singing in the dark. That's where we're headed today, not towards cheer, towards recognition. Toward the moment when mercy walks in and something inside you leaps before your brain can catch up. And if you're here, really here, that's enough. This is church. Real pews. Floors the creak. Coffee that's been on a little too long, candy canes in a bowl that's seen a few Decembers. People who showed up tired, hopeful, guarded, curious, just because it's Sunday, because that's where they belong. You don't have to feel joyful to be here. You just have to be close enough to notice when joy enters the room. And I'm glad you're here. I'll see you on the other side.
So, all right, church. Before we go anywhere, again, this is an intentional time of waiting. So, take a breath with me. We have lit three candles now. Hope, peace, and today, joy. And I know joy is a loaded word in our society because the world talks about joy constantly.
Markets it,
packages it, streams it, sells it to us in 30-second clips and curated highlights. The world promises joy as entertainment, as escape, as distraction from the ache. Joy, according to the world, is something you chase after, something you have to manufacture, something you experience briefly before it fades, and then you have to go looking for it again. The algorithm knows what makes you smile. The feed knows what makes you click. And the market knows exactly how to sell you the feeling without the substance. But Advent should keep interrupting us. Because Advent says joy is not something you produce. Joy is something that arrives. Joy is not something you schedule. Joy is something that breaks into a room before anybody is prepared for it. And today, Gaudete Sunday, the pink candle. We light the one candle in Advent that says, take a breath. Joy is coming whether you are ready or not. Gaudete. It's Latin for rejoice. Not because everything is now suddenly fixed. Not because the waiting is now over. But because something is happening in the dark that the dark can't control. And today we are given one of the most disruptive scriptures of joy in the whole Bible. No angels yet, no shepherds yet, no manger yet. Just two women, two pregnancies, two bodies. Holding promises the world doesn't yet understand. And joy shows up early. not as laughter, not as applause, but as a baby leaping before comprehension. Let's walk into it. Luke tells us that Mary, fresh off the angel's visit, went with haste to the hill country. With haste. That phrase matters because Mary doesn't go to the temple to get permission. She doesn't go to the religious authorities to get their approval. She doesn't even go to Joseph first to explain herself. She goes to somebody who might understand, Elizabeth, her cousin, also pregnant, also carrying something impossible. Elizabeth is 6 months along with child that an angel promised to a man who didn't believe it could even happen. And Mary is maybe 2 weeks along with child. The angel promised to a girl who said yes before she understood the cost of that yes. And Mary doesn't announce herself. She doesn't prepare a speech. She just shows up. Picture it. The hill country of Judea. A smaller house. Elizabeth, older, familiar with disappointment, carrying a promise she's learning to still trust. And then Mary walks into the room. Luke says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. Let that land, church. Not moved, not stirred, leapt. The Greek word is skirtaho. Skirtaho. It means to jump for joy, to leap violently, to spring up. This is not gentle fetal movement. This is recognition. Joy doesn't wait for an explanation. Joy doesn't demand proof. Joy doesn't wait for theology to catch up. Joy recognizes mercy when mercy walks in the door. John the Baptist, still hidden, still unborn, still 6 months from breathing air, responds to Jesus the only way the fetal John can. He leaps. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment, doesn't respond with confusion or suspicion. She doesn't say, wait, what happened? She doesn't say, let's talk about this. Scripture says what she says. She responds with a blessing. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to see me? Notice what does not happen here. No one asks Mary for clarification. No one questions her story. No one demands certainty before offering presents. Joy breaks in first. Elizabeth doesn't need a full explanation of what's going on. She just needs the Spirit. And the Spirit is already filling the room. And then Mary sings. Friends, the words of the evangelist Luke, first chapter of his gospel account, beginning verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And then Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Friends, reading of the word. Mary's song there, we call it the Magnificat. And it's not a lullaby. By the way, pause on the VCR. This is the question, Mary, did you know? Mary knew. Right here, it's in scripture, by the way. All right, play. This joy that she's talking about doesn't fit in a Christian lullaby. It's actually a revolution. This is not soft joy. This is not sentimental joy. This is not everything's going to be great joy. This is upside down joy. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. That's not abstract theology. That is a warning shot. Joy in the kingdom of God is what happens when mercy takes power seriously. Mary's joy is not rooted in comfort. It's rooted in a promise. She's young, maybe 15, unmarried at this point, still socially vulnerable. Her future is uncertain at best. And yet she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Not because her circumstances had suddenly improved, but because God had showed up. And that's the difference, not only to Mary, my dearest of friends, but to us as well. The world promises joy as a feeling that depends on the conditions of our life. Christ reveals joy as the Spirit's interruption when mercy enters the room. So let me ask you this question gently. When you hear the word joy, what do you feel? Excitement? Suspicion? Exhaustion? Because for a lot of us, joy has become another expectation that we just can't meet. Be joyful. Choose joy. Count it all joy. Fake it till you feel it. And some of us are thinking, I can barely hold it together. Don't ask me to be joyful too. Others of you learn to associate joy with noise, with chaos, with pressure to perform happiness for other people's comfort. So you don't trust joy anymore. And some of us, if we're honest, have learned to survive by keeping joy at arm's length. because joy makes you vulnerable as well. Joy gives you something to lose. Joy requires you to feel again after you've worked so hard at stopping feeling. Maybe you've been burned by joy before. Maybe you believed something good was happening when it wasn't. Maybe you let yourself hope and got disappointed. Maybe you sang too loud once and someone told you to quiet down. And now joy just feels like a setup for a knockdown. So, when the church says, light the pink candle, it's Joy Sunday, some of us are thinking, I just don't have that in me right now. And Advent sneaks along and whispers gently in your ear, you don't have to make joy happen. You only have to notice it when it arrives. Because joy, real joy, spirit joy, kingdom joy, does not wait for you to be ready for it. It shows up uninvited, like a baby leaping in the womb before anyone asks permission. And again, as we've been doing through each one of these series in Advent, let's look at the counterfeit option that the world offers. Counterfeit joy, again, entertainment. Real joy is recognition. Counterfeit joy distracts us from reality. Real joy tells the truth and survives. Counterfeit joy depends on escape. Real joy depends on presence. The world says, laugh so hard you don't have to feel. Spirit says, feel and joy will rise. That's why joy shows up in this very famous story. Not in a palace, but in a living room in the hill country of Judea. Not through an emperor, but from two pregnant women telling the truth. This is joy that doesn't deny suffering. It interrupts it. The world wants joy that requires nothing of you. Joy that asks no questions. Joy that doesn't threaten your comfort or rearrange your priorities. But Mary's joy, dearest, is dangerous. It scatters the proud, topples thrones, fills the hungry, and sends the rich away empty-handed. That's not feel-good spirituality. That's revolution with a baby in its arms. World offers us happiness, which is fine, but fragile. Happiness depends on circumstances all lining up in a row. Joy doesn't do that. Joy is what happens when the Spirit shows up and something in you recognizes it before your brain catches up. Joy recognizes before it fully understands. Joy leaps before he knows why. It's important. Joy is not the result of intellectual certainty. It's the response, the proximity of the Spirit. When Jesus, still invisible, still forming, still hidden, enters the room, John's body knows before John's mind ever could. And some of us have actually felt that before. A moment in worship you just can't explain. A line of scripture that just slapped you sideways. Kindness happened to you that just broke open unexpectedly. A song that made you cry and you're not sure why. Joy is often your body knowing grace before your mind catches up. And Elizabeth names it. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. She didn't have to figure it all out first. She felt it. And the Spirit gave her words. That's the order, friends. Presence, recognition, then explanation. Doesn't work the other way around. Joy is communal. Mary doesn't sing alone. Elizabeth hears her, affirms her, and names what God is doing in her. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Joy grows when it's witnessed. That's why isolation suffocates joy, and why the church, when at its best, is a room where joy is recognized out loud. You need, we all do, you need someone to say, I see what God is doing in you. You need, we all do, you need someone to say, that thing you're carrying is real. You're not crazy. The Spirit is moving. Mary stays with Elizabeth 3 months. 3 months, two women holding impossible promises together. 3 months of watching bodies change. 3 months of joy tended in community. And some of us, man, we need that right now. We need someone who won't minimize what we're carrying. We need someone who will sit with us while the promise grows. We need someone who will let joy be complicated and still call it joy. And that's what church is for. Not to hand you a script, but to witness what God is doing. Joy is dangerous. Mary's song threatens systems. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. That's not metaphor. That's political theology. The proud are scattered. Rich are sent away empty. The lowly are lifted. Joy is not neutral. Joy is what happens when the future God promised starts to finally leak into the present. That's why the world prefers happiness, because it's safer. Happiness doesn't threaten anyone. Happiness keeps you comfortable. Happiness asks nothing of the systems that hurt people. But joy? Joy rearranges the furniture. Mary's joy says God is remembering mercy. And if God is remembering mercy, then power structures built on scarcity are in trouble. If God is lifting up the lowly, and hierarchies built on shame will not stand. If God is feeding and filling the hungry of our society, then economies built on hoarding become exposed. Joy is what happens when God starts keeping his promises. And that's dangerous to anyone who invested in things staying the same. Joy is given, not achieved. Mary doesn't decide to be joyful. She responds. Peter says it this way in his first letter. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and a glorious joy. Joy unspeakable doesn't come from your effort. It comes from an encounter. You don't manufacture it. You receive it. Mary didn't earn this moment. Elizabeth didn't qualify for it. John didn't prepare for it, and God just showed up, and joy interrupted. That's grace. You don't have to be joyful enough. You don't have to perform joy for anyone. You don't have to pretend. You just have to stay close enough to notice when mercy finally walks through the door. So, here's the invitation this week. Stop demanding joy look like entertainment. Stop requiring joy to justify itself. Stop waiting until everything makes sense. Pay attention to what leaps. Where did something in you stir unexpectedly? Where did hope rise without permission? Where did mercy walk into the room before explanation followed? Because that's joy. A joy doesn't erase grief. It sits beside it. And joy doesn't solve everything. But it reminds you that God is already here. Picture it one more time. Two women. Two impossible pregnancies. One quiet house in the hill country. And joy, uninvited, unannounced, breaks in. Not loudly, but unmistakably. This is Advent joy. Not something you chase, something that finds you. Not something you perform, something you recognize. And maybe, just maybe, maybe this week you'll find something leap in you before you ever even understand why. That's the spirit. Lean into it. May joy surprise you this week. May it rise in you before you understand it. And may the mercy that stood up in Mary's song stand up in your life. Quiet, dangerous, and full of glory. Amen? Amen.
Hey, before you go, pause just a moment. If something stirred in you today, I want you to hear this clearly. You're not behind. You're not late. You're not failing Advent because you didn't feel the right thing at the right moment. Joy doesn't arrive on command. It enters rooms when people are honest enough to show up as they are. And if you're carrying more weight than light right now, that doesn't disqualify you. It names you. Good news of the season isn't that you finally get it all together. It's that God keeps drawing near anyway. Hope's always burning. Peace has already been spoken. And joy? Joy doesn't erase what hurts. It sits beside it, refuses to leave. So take a breath. Whatever you brought in with you, you don't have to carry it alone. Now, one practical word before we part ways. If what you're hearing here is feeding you, steadying you, or helping you walk this road through Advent into Christmas, you're invited, never pressured, to take part if you're in this room. You can place your light in the offering plate as it passes. It's one small, faithful way we keep the lights on and the doors open for real people in real pews. If you're listening online, the simplest way to keep walking with us is to tithe your subscribe. It's how you know when the next candle's going to be lit. It's how you stay connected as we move from joy to love all the way into Christmas morning. No guilt, though. No obligation, just invitation. However you do it, however you stay, may you go knowing grace has already met you. And friend, be blessed.